If you've never had the experience of having a lot of kids crowd around you and pray for you, you need to have that experience, and I'm serious. Never deny kids the opportunity to bless you, to say something nice to you, or to pray for you, or to just love you in some way. It's an amazing experience. You know, just thinking about the Money Matters over at the Allowance Avenue campus, I trust you show up so that you will receive compound interest. There we go. That's right. And then bring it to the church and put it in all those big buckets. Blessing, blessing, blessing. All righty. Well, we're going to carry on this morning in our series about our core values as a church. You know, what do you value the most in your life? The things that you value the most are the things that you pay the most attention to, the things that seem to spring naturally from your life. And as a church, as elders, when we put together these core values, these are things that we believe need to matter the most in our outworking of the faith as a body of Christ here, and in our personal lives too. But in particular, as we grow together in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus for his kingdom's sake here in Medicine Hat and around the world. So we're going to look at core values number 2 and 3 this morning, and they are this. And you should have in your bulletin a little outline. I'm not going to answer all of these questions completely, but there's going to be good discussion here for your life groups throughout this week. But we will sort of be following along with this outline. And first of all, God's love calls us to lead people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God's love calls us to mentor people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So this is a reflection of Jesus and his disciples. Some of the things that Jesus did with his disciples, most of what Jesus did with his disciples was geared towards helping his disciples understand the importance of letting their lives rub off on the lives of other people in such a fashion that people would see Jesus in them and recognize truth and decide for themselves that they wanted to make that truth come alive in their own lives via the person of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, and the Holy Spirit dwelling within. So Jesus did things with them in order to help them understand that. He did a lot of show and tell with them. He took them on excursions. He took them on all kinds of field trips. He took them places and in amongst people, and their lives were forever changed because they saw how he loved people and what love looks like when God comes and meets people. People's lives are radically transformed. And the starting place, we often think, the starting place of seeing people become a believer in Jesus is often when they come to the front to receive Jesus. But most often, the starting place is outside of this building, and it looks very different for every person. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. So let's read together Matthew 28. As you have it on your sheets, just follow along. Therefore, go and make disciples, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus telling his disciples at the end of his time, before he is taken into heaven, he gave them some marching orders. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There's the word, the little tiny word, two letters, that tell us a lot right off the bat. Go. Go. The word therefore is, you look ahead of it, or just to prior to that, and you see that Jesus had said, all authority has been given to me. All authority from heaven has been given to me. All authority from heaven and any authority on earth, any authority, all the authority in the universe rests on me. And now I'm conferring to you some of that same authority. Just as my Father in heaven told me, you are to go to the earth. Now I'm telling you to go wherever I tell you to go. And it's with huge purpose. The word go simply means to carry on, to pursue the journey on which one has entered, to continue on one's journey, to go about your daily business. Keep making things happen. Jesus had gathered his disciples together purposefully at that time for a teaching purpose, for an inspirational purpose. This wasn't just the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. This was barely the beginning. Just like a coach with a football team at halftime gathers his players around and they analyze what's just happened in the first half of the game. What needs to change and what needs to remain the same in the second half for us to be successful? See, the coach doesn't wait until the end of the game to pull his players together and say, what do we have to do now? What do we have to do now? The players would be confused, say, well, I guess we go home now. We take our cleats off, have a shower, and go home. It was just barely the beginning for these disciples. They've had their time of training, and there would be lots of training yet to come via the Word of God still and the Holy Spirit residing within them, the living Word dwelling within them. And so it was kind of like halftime. Jesus pulls his disciples together and inspires them. He reminds them, he challenges them, he commands them, and he commissions them. As a believer in Jesus Christ, some of you have been believers for a long, long time. I trust that you have experienced throughout your life as a believer multiple times of being inspired, encouraged, challenged, and commissioned. Really, I think Sunday mornings is a lot of that for us. It's a gathering primarily of believers where we come together, we hear from the Word of God, we get inspired, we get encouraged, we worship God, we experience the presence of God, that His Holy Spirit is dwelling among us collectively as we gather together. God speaks to us. Jesus continues to speak to us via the Spirit, via the Word, His presence among us. And then every Sunday at the end of the sermon, at the end of the message, at the end of the time when you're finished having coffee in the edge, we go and we enact the things that we've just heard and learned and seen. That's what Jesus did. You've seen it, you've heard it, you've experienced it. I think that's why John said, that which we have seen and that which our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you concerning who Jesus is and what his gospel is all about. Worship art gatherings, let me say this carefully, worship gatherings are amazing opportunities to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And as Pastor Mark mentioned this morning again, that perhaps you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never come to the point of saying, I think I really want to follow Jesus. He's speaking to me. How do I do that? We want to make opportunity, and we will this morning again, for anyone here who wants to follow Jesus to reach out and accept Jesus by faith. But worship gatherings are not the only, or maybe even the primary, occasions for evangelism. There's a statement that you see there. We gather to scatter. We gather in order to scatter. Think of it this way. If my math serves me correct, I should say if my calculator serves me correct, 7 days in the week, 24 hours per day, that comes to 168 hours. So we have 168 hours to spend throughout any given week. And we know that there's a number of those hours that we snooze. And if you don't snooze, you lose, right? We've got to get our rest and be rejuvenated every day. But we come here and we gather for, some of us it's an hour and a half-ish. Some of us it's 2 hours, maybe a little bit longer. But we gather here to worship, to learn, to be instructed, to be encouraged, to be challenged, to be commissioned, and then to be sent out. That's only 2 hours roughly in the whole week. So the rest of the week, about 166 hours, give or take, we're spending that time. Do we see the balance of that time as prime opportunity to be doing the work of evangelism with how we live, where we go, how we speak, just how we go about our day-to-day pursuing the journey on which we have already entered as believers in Jesus Christ? Jesus commissioned us to make disciples, to baptize people, indicating their commitment, their dying to self, and experiencing the cleansing power of Jesus Christ, his blood, his redemptive powers, and being raised to newness of life, newness in purpose, newness in experience. And then he says, teach these people to obey all of the commands of Jesus. All of the commands. So we teach. And it's towards purpose. And you know, life groups. I trust that most of you are in life groups. And as you enter into your life groups, you gather together, there's a lot of life on life. A lot of just experiencing God's presence through what he is doing in each other's lives. You know, isn't it amazing when you get together in a life group and you start talking about what God has done in your life and your life and your life and my life? And pretty soon, your horizon of God's activity is broadened. And we begin to see that God is active all over the place in so many different ways. But then after that time of studying the scriptures together and searching God, praying together, there's always a call towards action. Jesus said, teach these new disciples to obey everything I've commanded you. Obey. We need to be people of action. Disciples of Jesus Christ are intentionally people of action, activity. You know, I've had the privilege as a pastor of attending multiple conferences and seminars in the States and Canada. And I really have enjoyed those times. But there was a season in my life, a number of years, where it was like one after another, after another, after another, after another. And it seemed like we would barely be coming back from one conference. Our heads were so full, we were so enthused, and we were already planning to attend another conference. And you do that a few times, and suddenly you realize there was so much good stuff that we didn't have time to put into practice, to really process and figure out where all of this stuff fits in life. So we'd be running off to the next conference. Sometimes I think we're trying to take in too much. Maybe we need to slow down and focus on certain things in the scriptures and allow God to speak to us and we process those things until we figure out where this really fits. I'm not against conferences, don't get me wrong. I think we ought to go to conferences and seminars and learn and continue to grow. But put it into practice. We do these things, we learn so that we can put it into practice. Let's just watch a video clip right now about a certain group of people who are trained towards putting things into practice. Let's just watch this.
Turn up the volume.
Turn up the volume.
Turn up the radio.
How you doing?
Happened to be the Air Force Special Ops. The original group that Jesus trained, they were like Special Ops team. They came in really raw. They were raw recruits, but they learned some really fantastic things. And then they were deployed to do different things and to make it happen. And if you saw what it was written at the end of this, it said, we need people who can do this. We need people who can do this. And you know something? That excludes no one. As far as the Christian life is concerned, it excludes no one. Every one of us is invited to be part of that special ops team that Jesus has that goes into all the world and takes the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, wherever we go. And he equips us. He equips us. The challenge is that sometimes we think, okay, I've got this amount of training. I've taken this amount of Bible study. I've been attending life group. I've been coming to church. I'm in a ladies' Bible study or a men's Bible study. And I think I know just about enough to meet with someone and tell them a little tiny bit. But then an opportunity might come and we shrink back and then we say, I think I need some more training before I really step out in faith. I really have to know what I'm talking about. Now, good efforts have been made throughout the generations, well-intentioned efforts. And there have been programs that have come through Canada and the States to try and encourage people to be witnesses in our world. Sometimes, though, those programs have simply encouraged us as believers to memorize certain things in response to certain kinds of conversations. In and of itself, that's not a bad idea. But what on the danger side is, we learn certain things. We memorize certain verses and certain phrases so that we can speak about Jesus Christ. But what we try and do in that process is bring people around to our way of conversing to get the message across, but it may not be where that individual is at. And so we're trying to fabricate some kind of an environment whereby we can drive it home. And some people may not be ready for that yet. And they might not understand at all what you're talking about. We all have people come to our door occasionally from various different religious backgrounds. And if you've noticed, if you have spoken with folks, you'll notice that they do just that. They will come to your door, they have an agenda, and they have a program. It's packaged, it's memorized. And even for some of these groups, when they want to tell you their testimony, there's a tiny bit of their individual story, but then it boils down into the prescribed mantra of that particular religious organization. Not much life in there. And Jesus isn't asking us to do that. He's asking for us to present himself through our experiences with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God, and to tell people what he has done for us and through us. We need people who can do this. Love others. Love others first and foremost and always. Be people who are so influenced by the love of God that we love others. That we do things like we care about one another within the body of Christ. We go out of our way to care for others, to feed the hungry. We care about our city, our community. Because Jesus loves us, God loves us, therefore we love other people. I read a story about an individual who, a pastor said, had been a believer for a short time, But then an experience with some Christian people convinced that man to stop being a Christian. And the experience was simply this. He had been stranded on the side of the road and kind of in a semi-isolated place during a mucky rainstorm. And someone came driving along in a motorhome, a nice big motorhome, and stopped to ask, "What's the problem?" "Well, I'm stranded. I need help. There's something wrong with my car. Can you help me? Can you give me a ride? I'd really like a ride." The people in the motorhome were believers on their way to a conference. And they said, "You know something? That doesn't work for us right now because we're going to this conference. That's out of our way." They left him there. A few minutes later, a beat-up station wagon came along with a Mexican family in it. They were happy to take this man in their car and take him wherever he needed to go to get parts and help so that he could get back on the road himself. And so this man deduced from that one instance, if that's what Christianity is, you just come, if you're coming to my program, we'll consider giving you a ride. But me enter into your life and your problem and your situation, no. Now, you know, that was one individual, and he made his own decision. But sometimes, all the time, we need to guard against portraying a God who only accepts people if they will come into his agenda in certain ways. Now, we know there's only one Lord, one Jesus, one God and Father over all, one Holy Spirit. We know that there's only one way to the Father. But he invites us, no matter who we are and what we look like and what our life's situation and condition is. We need to be people of action who go. Where do you go? What does your scattering look like through the week? Where do you scatter to? Does your scattering allow for you to be transparent with other people as much as possible, as much as appropriate, so that people see Jesus in your life? None of us get it perfect the first time or all the time. We are all on a journey, aren't we? We are all figuring things out day by day. And God is continually, the Holy Spirit is continually honing us if we continually submit to his word and his character and pursue him. He continues to hone our life in amazing ways. Then Acts 1, verse 8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to be witnesses. We do. We really need his power, his amazing power, to be at work within us wherever we go. And we are to tell people about Jesus wherever we go. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Coffee shops, gyms, daycares, construction sites, wherever we go. Boardrooms, skating rinks, dental offices. Unless your mouth is held open by a dam and you can't talk. That would be not a good idea to try and witness. Wouldn't be very discernible. Do it afterwards. Just not in the fashion that I did one time. I wasn't trying to witness. I might have told this story some time ago. Had a filling done in my mouth. And of course, the freezing takes place and all of these things. And, the gal gave me a little Dixie cup, the hygienist, and said, "You can rinse your mouth out." So I did. Rinsed my mouth out. And then I got up And she was doing some stuff, and I was taking this thing off, or she was taking this bib off. And while that was all taking place, I was trying to make small talk, like this. And suddenly she hands me this wad of tissue. And I'm thinking, what do I need that for? Blah, 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 blah. I turned and I looked in the mirror, and I had stuff stringing down my chin. I grabbed it, and I just left the situation. See, unless we have the power, the unction of the Holy Spirit working in our minds and in our mouths to speak and to act, sometimes we come off in our attempts to witness as someone whose mouth is full of freezing and our face is full of drool. But it doesn't need to be that way. And we don't have to practice in front of a mirror certain words and phrases to try and memorize comebacks against things that are said that are rejections of the gospel. We simply need the Holy Spirit to be activated in our lives in any given situation that we might find ourselves in. Sometimes we'll even be required to say words. You know, we've heard that before. We need the Holy Spirit power in us. We need the Holy Spirit in us so that we can discern where and when and to whom and to how and how we are to share the love of Jesus in any given situation. It's important for us, I think. And you know, it's amazing. The more we pray and seek out the Holy Spirit in any given situation, He will indicate to us at times, okay, this person, they know nothing about me. You need to show them something about me. This person, they've heard all about me. They've had a lot of rejection in their life. And they're rejecting me, but they don't realize it. But speak to them in this fashion. This person has this experience in their life. Tell them. And when they hear you say something that only they themselves know, they're going to want to know, where does that come from? We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our witness to discern a person's readiness toward planting, watering, harvesting, to demonstrate God's powerful presence in healing the prophetic, casting out demons, raising the dead, and all kinds of other miracles, to express the love of God, to allow the love of Christ to flow in and through us in our actions daily and our words always. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to persevere with us, to help us persevere over the long haul in lifestyle witnessing with those that we live with all the time or work with all the time. We need Holy Spirit power to do that. Some of you have in your homes folks that don't believe in Jesus yet. Don't lose hope. Never lose hope. You know, the statistics tell us that the majority of people come to Jesus by the time they're about 18, many younger. I read an interesting study this week that showed a different take on some of that. That statistic is largely amongst those who grow up in churches. Okay? Follow me with this. The majority of people who come to Christ at a younger age are those that are growing up within the context of Christian homes and going to church. Okay? The majority of people who come to Christ who are not churched, every spectrum of the age is represented. Many, many, almost the majority, don't come to Christ before midlife or retirement age, those who did not go to church their whole lives. Okay? Does that make sense? The majority of people within this building right now have come to Christ, likely, because you've been part of a church for a long time, your parents were believers, you saw Christ modeled in your home, and somewhere along your life, in your life, probably at a younger age, you decided that that was for you too. But the majority of people in this city and in our world are outside the realm of the church. That's why Jesus said, go. Go into all the world and take the gospel with you. Take the good news with you. Do not take religion with you. He never said that. Do not take religiosity with you. Take the good news with you. Take my presence with you. Take me with you. Introduce people to me, Jesus said. So we need the Holy Spirit power in order to witness. Well, what is a witness? Well, a witness speaks of the courts, of standing up and giving witness to testify about what you know to be true, about what you have experienced, what you have seen, what you have heard, what you truly believe to be actual factual truth. I don't know how many of you have testified in court. I have not. I haven't been called to do that. But we're called to tell the truth on a daily basis. The scripture tells us to speak in truth. Don't entertain lies. Don't get into that kind of stuff. Speak truth. But then to do it with much love and carefulness. 1 Peter 3:13 to 16 says this: Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. This is talking about being often in a hostile, at an environment that is hostile to the truth and reality of the gospel. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life, and if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. Be ready, as some other translation puts it, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Be ready. Be ready in season and out of season, because we don't know all of the seasons that others are in until we're in the situation and God places us with people so that our lives can reveal the reality of Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he means for us. So allow the Holy Spirit to give you what you need in those moments. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid to show love. Maybe it's a case in some settings where God doesn't want you to open up your mouth in that setting so much as he wants you to demonstrate kindness, demonstrate generosity, demonstrate being late for a conference so that you can pick up someone who's wet and muddy and help them get to where they need to go. Because while you're doing that, you have opportunity to ask them questions about their life. And then you can tell them about your life, the hope that lies within you. Statistics also show us that those who are outside of the church, who are unchurched, are far more receptive to the message of the gospel when going through critical changes in their lives. Sometimes it's just getting married or having children, or there's a crisis in the home of one kind or another, a relational crisis, a financial crisis, a death in the family, a loss of a job, tragedy of some kind. Those are times where we don't prey on people. Please hear me. We don't prey on people and take advantage of a situation. But when we recognize what people are going through and they're open to sharing their life with us, that's a pretty clear indication that they're grasping for some hope. That's an optimal time for us to share the hope that lies within us in Jesus Christ. Be ready to give an answer for the hope that it lies within you. We need people who can do this. And you know something? We are people who can do this. We are people who are doing this. We are people who are doing this. I love hearing stories of how many of you are just reaching out in tangible ways and making a difference in the lives of others. Sometimes very creatively, meeting the needs of others, inviting someone into your life, sharing your life with them, being a blessing in your neighborhood, earning the right to speak love into their lives. And we must do so patiently with others. You know, most people outside that are unchurched, they don't come to Christ like those who have grown up in a church or in a Christian home. Again, statistics show that if you grew up in a church setting, in a Christian environment, most people who become a believer within that environment say they point to a particular event where they became a Christian. Maybe it was in a church service, maybe it was at a camp, or some such thing, but most people can remember definitely this was the time, this was the place, and this was who was with me. Conversely, those who are not churched, many of them, most of them, cannot really pinpoint a particular time or occasion or necessarily even the people that were with them when they made up their minds to ask Christ to come into their lives. Kind of interesting. Some can. The majority don't. There's a story of one lady who had started coming to church on the invitation of a friend. And the invitation to come forward to receive Christ was given. She came forward. That happened like 7 or 8 times. And each time, she came forward to receive Jesus. We ought never, never to deny people that process. And as the pastor, about a year or so later, was asking about that situation, well, you've come all of these times. Now you're a believer, you're getting baptized. Which one of those times was the time that you actually invited Jesus into your life? And she replied, none of them. None of them. He was surprised. So he asked her to explain, and she said, well, the time when it really hit home, I had gone to Costco, and they had Bibles at Costco, and I bought a Bible at Costco. In the parking lot, I opened the Bible, and I went to the front of the Bible, where it asks your name and when you received Jesus and all of those things, and I looked at it. I wrote my name, and I wrote today's date, that date, in the Bible, and she said, for me, that was the time when it became really, really real. Okay. Doesn't all look the same for everybody, does it? Christ meets us where we're at in the timing that we give to him to work with. And he knows how not to push and how not to offend, but simply to be there and invite. This pastor also said that earlier on in his ministry, he felt that the majority of people would come to Jesus because, well, he was the pastor and he would give invitations. And many people did come forward, and Pastor Mark, many, many people come forward on invitations. But then he realized that the majority of people in the church that were believers, or that had become believers, he found that his situation as a youth pastor or a worship pastor or as a lead pastor, discipleship pastor, the pastors in the church, their role was mostly to gently nudge people when they recognized that they hadn't made a decision for Jesus yet. They're a gentle nudge, a gentle nudge. And sometimes, as pastors, they were the ones that helped them through that process of praying and understanding and those kinds of things. But he said he began to understand that the majority of people in their church that came to Jesus were because people won them to Christ or became good friends with them and brought them to church and helped them be in situations where they could hear again and again more about the life of Jesus. Without friendships, most people will not become believers. Now, there are places in the world where there's vast, vast evangelistic meetings where thousands of people will answer a call to Jesus. Usually someone told them about it, a friend, a relative, and they heard about it and they would go. After the crusade, after the evangelistic situation is over, unless people get plugged into life with Jesus with other people pretty quickly, faith will disappear and people will not continue to grow in their life with Christ. That's why relationships are so important. So important. I'm just going to ask a question. Yeah, you can raise your hand. This would be interesting. For those of you who are here, followers of Jesus, how many of you became a believer because of church ministry? You received Jesus in the church or at a camp, but because of the church directly, how many of you became believers? Okay, a lot of you. How many of you became believers outside of the church through friendships with others? Okay. The majority were the first, but lots in the second. We will continue to invite Jesus or people to become believers in our church services. But let me encourage all of us again this morning to be people who go and love and help and encourage. There's lots of opportunities, and it's going to grow over time in this next while for us as believers to be part of going together in situations where we as a church are organizing things to do that. But until those things happen, and they do happen occasionally, but every day, live your life in such a way that you are transparent with your neighbors, your friends, co-workers. Just love on people wherever you go. I'm going to ask us to stand. Something else. Okay. We're going to close in just a minute, and this is how I'm going to close this morning, and Chris is going to pop up here, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this body of believers this morning. Thank you for every person here. I thank you for the kids. Lord, it was amazing to stand here as one of the pastors in this church and have a crowd of kids just laying hands and praying, even one kid pushing from behind. Maybe that was prophetic. But God, I thank you that kids don't worry so much about the time or space. They just do. Lord, let us be like kids in response to your word this morning, that we go and do. You've already placed everything we need to be a witness. With the little seed of truth that some of us might think we have now, someone else needs that little seed. And some of us might know a whole lot more. And maybe the lesson for us is to get out and get with people. But God, we pray in the name of Jesus that this will be a body of believers that grows primarily because people become believers through the ministries of this church, whether it's here on Sundays and special occasions, through our life groups, through other ministries that are taking place throughout the week, and through our personal lives. Jesus, it's not okay that people beside us know nothing about you. It's not okay. So help us to figure that out. And by your Holy Spirit, you will give us everything we need to know to connect with our neighbors and the people in the coffee shop and everywhere else we go. Because that's your design. If we say today that we are disciples of Jesus Christ, that's your call to us. And Jesus, we accept that again. We reaffirm that call on our lives today to go and make disciples wherever we go, because that is your command to us. And we accept it. We will continue to train and continue to put opportunities as a church out there. But Lord, speak to us as individuals, speak to us as couples, speak to us in our homes. Help us to know what that looks like and to step out in faith with courage to see this city changed. And this world changed.
Yes, Lord.
These are crucial days. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Chris.
Yeah, just as we were watching the video, those Marines, the U.S. Air Force, doing those tasks, the Lord showed me some thoughts that some people had. When it said, we need people that can do this, the thought that entered your mind was, I can't do that. And the Lord has just shown me, he said, there are many believers that feel like Moses. Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. You feel inadequate. You feel like, I don't know what I'd be able to say to those people. You feel less than, you don't feel good enough, you don't feel put together enough. These are thoughts that are going through your mind. And I honestly don't know what to do. God just said, I want you to go and say that to them. There are people here that have this, it's like this grip on their life, and you don't feel that you can do it. Honestly, I feel like God wants to break it off you this morning. Okay? He took the least. If you remember David, it said he was the youngest. The Hebrew translation actually says he was worthless. Okay? Less than. If you feel you can't beat the Goliath in your life, think of David. Okay, this morning I know that the Lord wants to break this off. So if you felt or you had that thought this morning, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. If you want ministry this morning, I'm sure Mark, Larry, Pastor Ken, I think even myself, it's just this burning desire in me. And if I didn't say something, my heart was going to jump out my mouth. And I'm sure it would have been up here speaking anyways. So if you want some ministry, I'm willing to be here because I have a God that wants to break the infirmities. He wants to break the word that has been spoken that you're not good enough, because he says, I'm good enough for you and I will train you and raise you. So if you felt like that, you come on down. I'll wait for you. I'm sure these guys will too. If I overstepped anything, guys, just, okay? So I'm here. I know you got kids, but be blessed. But if you want, if you've got something, come on up. I'll wait here too.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. That's a great word. That's a great word. Also, if anyone's here this morning and says, hey, I've never invited Jesus into my life, you come up here too, and we will talk with you, we'll pray with you, and we'll just love on you. Agreed? Agreed. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you his peace as you go and do his bidding this week. Bless you. Amen.